Hello there. The boys and the girls on Footy Prime show can sometimes get a bit out of control. Yeah, they'll say words that might not be suitable for children. So use your full discretion when you're playing this around your family. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go! Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty, booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Hey, Primers, it's me, that guy, JC. Listen, let's do a Best of Footy Prime episode with one of our favorite guys we've ever interviewed. Canadian national team superstar, Promise David. Enjoy.
Nice. You know what? You know what, Promise, right? You always keep the media guy happy.
And yeah.
Somewhat happy.
Interviews are fun, aren't they, during tournaments? It's Promise David, everyone. It's Footy Prime. I'm Shams. We've got Amy Walsh. We've got Craig Forrest. Wong is here as well. Promise, first of all, how was lunch? How many calories do you need a day? You're like a big dude.
I don't count. I've never counted. It's just when my belly looks like a pregnant woman, then I know it's a problem. Today they had this like rice with this like chicken, but like the sauce was so good. And they interrupt, like I took one plate and then we had a meeting and I basically packed a whole nother plate and just gave it to the lady downstairs because they were packing up lunch so I could come do this. So I was like I need a second serving. It was good. But yeah, training is hard. Damn. I could eat like a criminal on death row.
Are you the type of athlete that you have like your kind of your regimen, like how you're eating like a big breakfast, lunch, dinner, or are you eating constantly over the course of the day in between training, in between meetings?
Yeah, it's big all the time.
Yeah.
There's no... If I'm training, which I have been doing for like the past year, the harder the training, the more my body just, my brain just screams food, food, food. And yeah, training with Jesse is not easy. So my brain is screaming food times two. Exclamation marks. But yeah, no. I'm a big breakfast guy though. If breakfast isn't hitting, the whole day is just a waste.
What's your go-to? You have anything in front of you, like what are you putting on your plate?
It depends. Am I eating out or am I in my house?
You pick.
If I'm in my house, it could be pancakes, frosted flakes, oatmeal, bread. I have like an egg sandwich. Okay, I'm weird. So like eggs have such a good nutritional value, but I hate the taste of eggs. So I fry an empty omelet with a little bit of cinnamon. And I stick it in slices of bread. And I put an enormous amount of jelly inside so that it literally just tastes like a jelly sandwich. So I'm still eating the egg. And then I will kill it with a smoothie. But like not like a cup. Like I'll blend a whole blender. Drown it.
Man, yeah. you're lucky that you're 23, man. Because you do that when you're 43, it won't end well.
I feel like nothing's going to change. Everybody's been telling me, yeah, when you get to 20, you can't eat like that. But I've been eating like that since I came out the womb.
I appreciate that. I was the youngest. I know this is a Promise David interview, but we used to bring Tupperware to the Mandarin. And me and my homies used to steal food and then bring it back, chicken wings. Yeah, it was tough. This is what we were reduced to.
I did that at Pizza Hut Tuesdays. It was all you could eat.
Tuesdays, all you could eat Pizza Hut. That's
yeah,
right.
And I used to bring Tupperware and just steal food, you know, impoverished days back in those days. Anyway, listen, let's talk about the football, shall we? Hey, it's been quite a week for you, Promise. You get a new deal at your club. You score a beauty against Honduras. How's the confidence feeling right now?
Top of the world. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It feels good. I don't even know. I feel like I'm still like in a dream. I'm just gonna wake up any second now. Like, I think I've had a fantastic year, but like, it's kind of like, can I go back to my club and repeat the same year? Which I don't really doubt. It's just, you score one against Honduras, and then you know, it's literally right after the game, you have to be thinking about the next one, individually. Because what's the point of scoring the last, you know, last goal if you can't repeat the same action? So, yeah, there's usually the happiness is like 24 hours short-lived, and then it's the next issue.
Tell me about that goal that you did score against Honduras. I was praising the world out of you because I thought it was absolutely brilliantly taken. Tell me you meant to bang it into the ground over the goalkeeper.
Yes, and I've done it before in Belgium. And I remember one of my Vaughn coaches texted me. He's like, "You didn't mean to do that, but I did." And I just remember Ali lining up for the shot, but I wanted him to cross it. But either way, the ball comes to me, but I kind of like peel off the defender's blind side so he can't really see me. So as soon as I see the ball come, you kind of see me in the air. So in my brain, I'm just like, right foot touch down soft, left foot drag, because as soon as I touch it down, I've reacted before the defender, and I know he's going to be desperate and slide. So I was like, left foot drag, so he'll be out of the equation. I just didn't expect the goalie to rush out that quickly. So I'm like, if he rushes out that quickly, I'm not really in a position where I can scoop and chip. So I'm like, just kick the ball into the ground. And even after like goes over him, you see me kind of like follow the ball to the post because I'm like, oh, wait, I need to be there. It bounces. And then it bounces and I'm like, cool. But that was the whole mental process behind it.
You're Neo from the Matrix. That's who you are.
I feel like
that was brilliant.
Every football player is Neo in like, especially goal scoring tight situations. Every striker has to like, your brain's just running on autopilot, but it's also going like 1,000 miles an hour.
It was great.
But the cool thing to hear from you is that you're able to articulate it. So a lot of the other strikers might be feeling and like in your own head that running and like taking it through frame by frame. But it was really cool to hear you just go through that. So now like the other side of the coin is the next try that you had that was really tight on goal. And you tried like
honestly, if I told you what I tried to do on there, you would not believe me. We're not going to talk about it.
Come on.
We were 6-0 up, and I tried to do something ridiculous, and then it didn't work out. Oh my god, I look like such an idiot! But I was
wasn't like, it like outside of your boot, like spin it in or something?
Yeah.
What did Moro say to you? Did Moro give you shit afterwards, or was it at that
point? No, I don't think nobody gives anybody like some serious shit in this Canada squad because, in fact, Jesse encouraged us to be creative and make mistakes and try ridiculous things. Mm-hmm. Just make sure if you lose the ball to, you know, react and go crazy. So I think the fact that I've already scored in the game gave me the right to do something ridiculous considering the game's
almost licensed to do it, right?
Yeah, it was dumb. Yeah. Like I could have had two for whatever.
No, I think you want your strikers to be doing that, right? Like it's not always gonna come off. Of course, it's part of it.
Yeah, it's all about the swagger. You showed plenty of swagger this season in Belgium. And now you've got Champions League coming up this season. Congrats, by the way, on the new deal. Tell us about life in Belgium and that club in particular. You know, it's a club that not many people over here know too much about. You're really making a mark for yourselves now. But how is life there?
I mean, for me personally, it's the club has consumed my life as a whole. Considering the fact that it's really a 9-to-5, especially when, you know, I realize the position I'm in, so I'm putting in a lot of extra work. So, I get there at training ground at 7, and sometimes I'm clocking out at 3, and then, you know, I could do maybe 2 sessions, work with some coaches, then have the regular training, gym, eat. You know, some days I used to sleep over there and because I'm just no point in going back home because I didn't have my license. So I'm not taking the train. But no, and the fact that I'm able to stay there for so long and not be like drained emotionally just shows how much of like an uplifting place it is and how much a staff member is really, really cool. And yeah, they don't even feel like staff members. They feel like mom, dads, and aunts and uncles, and brothers and sisters. And I think that's one of the reasons why we were able to even win the league this year. It was everybody was really on the same wavelength.
How did that come about, the move there? Because you were playing in Estonia. What was that like, and how did you find out?
They contacted me. And I thought it was a scam. I didn't think it was serious. And then they sat down and did a.
Was it a text, a call? Like, why did you think it was a scam?
It was an email. Yeah. I was like, yeah, right. And then we had a Zoom call meeting. And like, I was even, like, I was like, still in shock. But after the Zoom, I was like, as soon as I saw that it was actually them, I said yes. And then they asked me again after, and I was like, I already told you yes before the meeting. I don't know why we're still here discussing anything. But yeah, no, they've got a crazy scouting system. Like, even during the meeting, it's not like just me that came from Estonia. They had guys that came. They got guys that weren't playing. They had some guys that were in, like, German third division, some guys that were, like, ready to retire. And then they just – They see something in someone, they invest, and boom.
I was thinking about the facility when you were talking about sleeping over. What's it like to have a facility that obviously you're not sleeping in the, you know, where they keep the mops and stuff? Like, what's it like there?
For me, it was like Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, we're actually moving to our own brand new facility. So I don't know what the step up could be, but apparently it blows the old one out of the water. So for me, as long as the kitchen and the beds are good, that's my area.
Plenty of jelly in the fridge. You know,
yeah,
eggs, you know. Yeah, exactly. So, Promise, we chatted briefly at the Nations League, and just after I spoke to you, I interviewed Jesse, and he goes, did you ask Promise about his name, the story about his name? And I said, no. He goes, you have to ask him the story behind it. Now, I hope he's not pranking me. What's the deal here?
Is that too private to leak?
Well, I don't know. Is it?
No. Is it? Listen, you don't have to tell us a story, and I'll confront Jesse about it afterwards.
I can give a shortened version without giving too many private details. My parents waited very long before they had their first kid. Now I have two sisters behind me. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, weirdly, we all have the same initials. It's Promise, Peace, Precious, mm-hmm. Oluwatobi, Oluwatofumi, Oluwabumi, Elizabeth, Esther, Emmanuel, David. So we're all like, call ourselves three P's in a pod. Because our initials are POD. And I think my parents did that on accident. But my mom was pregnant with me. There were a lot of complications where I don't think I really should have been born. And then I remember she was at church and the pastor was like, he gave her a specific Bible verse. And it's a Bible verse I've kept close to my heart. And it was literally... just for her in her situation of life. And, you know, they prayed over it and she went back, like, I think 2 months later to get, is it ultrasound? Like, where they put the thing on the belly?
Yeah.
And I was perfectly fine. And she was like, God kept his promise. So I'm gonna name the baby Promise.
Wow.
Come on.
Oh my God. That's a great story. That is a great story. That's a proper story.
Yeah, funny enough, I even got to meet the guy who gave her the Bible verse, but he was so old. So old, like wheelchair old.
Wheelchair old. Yeah. So like 50.
Yeah.
Amazing pastor. He was like 90 something by now.
You were probably 6 foot when you were born.
I don't know. Came out healthy, but I was a very small child my entire life.
Really?
Yeah, had a growth spurt like kind of like during the last 2 years of high school. If I can't remember.
Once you discover the egg jelly sandwiches, suddenly it's like
yes. Yeah, with no yolk, with no yolk, which is going somewhere. I was looking at your TSN wrote about your new signing, and it said you were. Didn't get a lot of attention from NCAA, except Appalachian State.
I got like one email or something from them. Like, I was like so confused how I was going to all these trips and I would never get a single call. and I thought I was playing good, but nothing, got nothing serious, bro. Nothing serious. I think the most I ever had was like a half scholarship to a D3 school and like some interest from Appalachian State.
Was that like that time where you went, what am I doing? Or I've got to do something different?
No, I was still vibing.
Oh, yeah? The whole time?
I didn't even want to go to school. I wanted to go to school to play football. I didn't want to become a pro. I was just chilling. I think I wanted to be better at football, but I never really had the idea of like being a professional in mind.
I know Danny Dicchio had you at the TFC Academy there for a while, and he speaks really highly of you.
You know Dicchio?
Oh, yeah. He was on our podcast. Yeah. He used to be left for the States, left for greener pastures, actually. And then
In Chicago. My parents were the reason I didn't. He was the reason my parents didn't let me quit football after I left TFC.
Wow.
And he wasn't the coach at the time, but he like told them like, yeah, just let him keep playing and keep enjoying and he'll be fine in the future. And my dad always says, remember Dicchio, the man from Sportsnet. We don't call him coach.
That's the other man from Sportsnet. I'm pointing the wrong way. That's Sharp.
Both of them.
Yeah, we work with Dicchio.
We had this conversation in Nations League, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You said, is Craig really a dickhead in real life? I said, no, he's a real nice guy. he's great. Hey, listen, promise. So we're almost out of time, but every time we have a new guest on the podcast, Wonga has a little segment. It's basically getting to know Promise David in 9 questions, rapid fire. First questions that come out are just fine. Okay, so Wonga, take it away.
All right, Promise David, you're playing Get to Know Me on Footy Prime. So here's a scenario. In 30 days, you're starring in a new Star Wars movie where you have to play a young Jabba the Hutt, the largest and fattest villain in the Star Wars universe. What is your go-to junk food to reach your goal and put on that added weight?
Smarties ice cream, Oreo ice cream, Hawaiian pizza, no bacon, extra chicken.
You go!
Very specific.
Oatmeal raisin cookies and Lucky Charms.
Cereal's played a big part in his life already. I like that. Okay, you're DJing a party that includes your parents and their friends. What old school music are you playing to get the party started?
Michael Jackson Will Never Miss.
Nice. Belgium is famous for its food. What dish are you choosing? Mussels and fries, steak frit, or Belgian waffles?
I hate seafood. Fries are good everywhere. So what was the third option?
Belgian waffles. Have you hit the waffles yet?
Yeah, I have, but it's weird to say it's too much sugar for someone that's a sugar head like me, but I'll still go with Belgian waffles.
All right. If you weren't playing football, soccer, what sport would you be playing professionally? What was number 2 on your list, sports-wise?
I make a decent, strong safety.
Oh, I love it.
And I would play basketball, but the problem is I've got point guard height and build, but only skills of a center.
What was your favorite club playing, club growing up? Sorry.
Chelsea.
Oh. These guys are all Liverpool, and Craig played for West Ham, so just so you know.
And on loan at Chelsea.
And at loan at Chelsea, that's great. Yeah,
I wasn't playing. If we draw Chelsea in the Champions League, oh my god!
Right. Why was it Chelsea?
How was it for you?
How was it for me?
Yeah,
it was great. I was only there for just over a month, and Ruud Gullit was the manager of Zola, Bialy.
So get this, Promise. So when Craig was there, he got them into the FA Cup final. But his parent club,
Craig, you didn't see to play. They didn't keep you to play.
The club wanted, I think they wanted $1 million basically for one game, and Chelsea weren't going to play that game. So
the bad business side to football. It haunts everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
things happen.
I mean, at least there.
Yeah, it's on his resume for sure.
Mm-hmm. A lot of CV.
Yeah. Okay. But West Ham for 5 years. It was a different, completely different club, you know, from Chelsea. And it just that experience. And I was 13 years at Ipswich in a very rural area. And I would have played there for my whole career. But moving to the city and to London, not only Chelsea, but then to West Ham, this is the difference between East London and Chelsea, and the difference in the crowd and the fans and everything about the experience was brilliant for that.
At least you got the memories. I need to start making one.
I think you've done a there. Pretty good job of that so far.
You get to meet your sports hero. Who was it and why?
Didier Drogba.
I was wondering if that's why Chelsea. All right.
We're talking about this. Didier Drogba easily. And I think all my sports hero are just Chelsea strikers. Drogba, Costa, Abraham. Mm-hmm. Who else did I like? Not Morata.
Yeah, never scored any goals. I guess you were too young to see Shevchenko, right?
I was too young. Yeah. I think I became a Chelsea fan right around 2006, 2007.
Okay.
It was my first indoctrination by my uncle, who was also a Chelsea fan, and he would take me to watch the games with him, like in Africa.
Costa. Yeah. I love Costa as well. Costa was such a prick. Just a madman. What a player, though.
Screw
more questions there, Wonger?
Yeah, two more. You have a week off. Where are you vacationing?
My house in Brampton. I want to go to sleep.
That's a good holiday. And then final question. It's a multiple choice. Shawarma, butter chicken roti, or meatball sub?
All of the above.
All of the above.
I think we've established already that.
Yeah.
Promise, David, you've just finished Footy Prime.
Wait,
get to know me. Thank you for playing.
Thank you for having me on.
This is great, mate.
Thanks, Promise. Honestly, absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. Really, and keep up the good work. We're loving what we're seeing, and everything's happened very quickly for you, and it's just going to get better and better.
This is just the beginning.
Exactly. You know
it. Have a great day, pal.
Bye-bye.
That's Promise. That's Promise, David. Hey, John, it's John Lovin. Hey. Thanks, pal. It was worth the wait, mate.
Don't want to do the rapid fire with me, eh? That's for sure.
Yeah,
we would
have said once.
Yeah.
Mm.
I
got to
go, guys. Okay,
thanks, Ryan.
That was Promise, David, and that might just about be my favorite interview we've ever done, or close to it. That dude has got as much charisma as he has skill in the football pitch. It's brilliant.
Just so comfortable, so at ease, just like you're having a chat with your mates, with your pals, and wasn't guarded or extremely self-aware, which is oftentimes when you get these athletes on, or it's like really polished because they've been through all of the media training, and he was just himself. And I don't know Promise David, but I would not be surprised if you show that video to somebody who knows him really well. You'd be like, yep, that's Promise.
Oh, that's interesting. And that's probably,
that, I mean, we talked about it, a little bit before, but I mean, these are the types of people, types of personalities that you need to drum up interest, that you need to get a buzz going. And Promise David should be front and center to all of that for Canada soccer.
Yeah. He should be.
I can't get enough of this guy. He's absolutely top drawer. His description of the goal that he scored against Honduras was just different. It was worldly. Very, very good.
You know what it's like for us? You know, you see these, whether it's the Premier League or Liga, and they're trying to do these focused chats, but it's about tactics. And you've got an ex-player with an iPad, whether it's Michael Owen or somebody else, Karen Carney, talking to players, and they're getting them to describe a great play, a phenomenal goal, a great block, or a save if you're a goalkeeper. And he was doing that in real time about a goal that just happened yesterday.
Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, with all due respect to Alistair Johnston, that was my favorite too.
Yeah, we've had some good ones. In fairness, Canada's got some characters, right, on this team. They really do.
I was going to say, Sharms, you're like slighting everybody else who's been on our interview.
I know. someone's got to be the best.
It's funny, right? Though. Promise was talking about getting spam. So earlier today, I got spam, and it was from this phone number I didn't know, and it says hello. So I answered back, hello. Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted, and my arms are open wide. I love you. And then it says, I'm Charlotte from Staffing Station. Are you still looking for work? Can I send you the position available?
She didn't buy into the joke. She has no idea who Lionel
is. I don't know who it is. I just wanted to have fun with someone.
They've emptied your bank account now.
That's right. Lionel Richie. I wanted to give them a Lionel Richie hello. That's all.
Okay. Well, listen, that's Footy Prime. whose father killed him?
Marvin Gaye.
Darth Vader?
Gaye, that's right.
Dirk Marvin Gaye.
Dirk makes no sense now because we cut that part of the show out.
Remember? That's right. We did. Right.
Everyone listening, Promise was a bit delayed because of training. So we had to fill we thought 5 minutes, turned out to be 37 minutes. And it was so awful. We just cut it and said, we can't. We ask a lot of our audience sometimes to deal with our bullshit. But I think we went way past the point.
But let us know. We'll drop it as a podcast. It is a good 40 minutes.
Drop it like a turd. It was straight garbage.
Drop it like a turd. Drop it like a turd.
All right, we're back tomorrow. Today is Thursday, isn't it?
Wednesday.
And make sure we have our Club World Cup podcast as well.
Yeah.
With a US-based journalist talking about just how it's been received, the Club World Cup in the States so far, and also a little bit on Christian Pulisic and Mauricio Pochettino.
Love that story.
So it's pretty juicy, isn't it? All right, until next time, thanks so much. And thanks, Promise David. And thanks, John Lovan of Canada Soccer. You are the best. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.